Howdy, and welcome to the 10-week Bible podcast. This is week 6, day 3 of the study of Genesis. I'm your host, Emily Hibbs, and today we're talking about Genesis chapter 28.
Thanks for listening to the 10-week Bible podcast, and I hope you appreciated the gratuitous use of my child's voice for the intro there. Why don't you go ahead and join me before we get started as we pray today. Lord, would you pour out your Spirit on us? Lord, open our eyes and our ears to hear what your Word has to say to us. Lord, we want to know you. We want to encounter you. We want to experience you in your words that will be changed forever. Most of all, we want to know you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I pray that every day because it's so important to know Jesus and to know God through his word. One of the saddest things that I can think of in Scripture was the fact that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law in Jesus' day, they studied God's word day and night. It's what they did. It's all they did. I mean, they just filled their minds with it over and over again. And yet when they met Jesus face to face, they looked into the eyes of God, the God that they'd been reading about day and night for their whole lives. They looked into his eyes and they didn't know him. One of the most important things as we study God's word is that we don't get to know God's word better. God's word is not the end that we're going for here. Knowing his word is not the end. It's the means. The end is knowing God. The end is coming face to face with Jesus, looking in his eyes and knowing that it's the same man that we've been reading about. When we study God's word, when we read God's word, when we fill our minds and our hearts with his word, we want to encounter God, not just his word. If all we do is encounter his word and we don't encounter him, it's black ink, maybe some red on a piece of paper. But when his word leads us to him, then we get to know the living word. There were two groups of people in Jesus' day, the Pharisees and the disciples. One knew the written word, and one knew the living word. Only one of those two groups knew God. And unfortunately, it is possible, and it's within our human nature, to study this and read this and not get to know God. Don't let that happen to you. As we go through this, use God's word to get to know him. Dialogue with him. That's one of the most powerful things of reading this over and over and over again, is it forces you. It just happens to dialogue with him. Talk to him. When you have questions that come up, don't just think to yourself, I wonder how that happened. I mean, that's entirely valid and appropriate. Think those things, but turn it into a prayer as well. Say, Lord, what were you doing here? What were you thinking? How is this going on? Talk to him. Turn your study and your reading in the Bible into prayer and have a conversation with him. All right, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Genesis chapter 28, starting in verse 1. So Isaac called for Jacob and blessed him. Then he commanded him, do not marry a Canaanite woman. Go at once to Padan Aram, to the house of your mother's father, Bethuel. Take a wife for yourself there from among the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and increase your numbers until you become a community of peoples. May give you and your descendants the blessing given to Abraham so that you may take possession of the land where you now reside as a foreigner, the land God gave to Abraham. Then Isaac sent Jacob on his way, and he went to Padan Aram to Laban, son of Bethuel, the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, who was the mother of Jacob and Esau. Now Esau learned that Isaac had blessed Jacob and had sent him to Paddan Aram to take a wife from there. And when he had blessed him, he commanded him, do not marry a Canaanite woman. And that Jacob had obeyed his father and mother and had gone to Paddan Aram. Esau then realized how displeasing the Canaanite women were to his father Isaac. So he went to Ishmael and married Mahalath, the sister of Nebaioth, and the daughter of Ishmael, son of Abraham, in addition to the wives he already had. This really kind of makes you feel sorry for Esau. I mean, it's not gone terribly well for Jacob so far. I mean, like, this has really put him in a bad spot. But again, like we talked about yesterday on the podcast, this is a powerful prophetic utterance that Isaac issued over Jacob, and it's irrevocable. I don't understand why, but for whatever reason, it is. Jacob, even though he was under duress, even though he was deceived, this prophetic utterance, this blessing over Jacob, he won't take it back. He can't take it back. So it's going to cost Jacob in the short term, but long term, this is going to be for the blessing of planet Earth. Now, Esau, on two separate occasions, has been tricked. The first time around, he wasn't tricked. He said, you know, that this is the second time that Jacob has tricked me. And it was really the first time around Esau despised his own birthright. I mean, it didn't matter to him, so he just sold it for a pot of stew. That's how little he thought of the prophetic narrative that's going on in his life. And I don't want to make too much of this, but it's an important thing to talk about, because the scripture in, I believe, Malachi 1 says that it's a difficult scripture to kind of wrestle with, but it has to do with this. And it says, God loved Jacob and hated Esau. And I mean, those are strong words, because when we read through this, it can be easy to kind of see, well, Esau, like, he just kind of got a bad deal here. But it goes deeper than that. Like, Esau is constantly trying to, you know, backpedal and just kind of figure out what's going on, even though he should know what's going on. He should have known that there is a prophetic mandate of the highest order and highest caliber on his life and his family's life. His lineage was supposed to be blessed by God. And he so despised that, this birthright from the most blessed man on planet Earth at the time. He didn't care about it. And again, I don't want to make too much of this for our own lives, because this is a very unique encounter, very unique set of circumstances here. Jacob and Esau inherited, I mean, and it wasn't their choice. They were born into it, but they inherited the most important calling and the most important mantle in the history of mankind. Esau didn't care. Jacob cared enough to steal it through deceit. But Esau didn't give a rip about it. Again, this is a very unique set of circumstances, but when it comes to us, we do have things the Lord has given to us, and we need to have our eyes open to understand what the Lord has given to us so that we don't take it for granted, that we don't look it away, that we don't just say, well, you know, it's the sense of weird entitlement that's so common nowadays. It's like, well, I deserve better than what I already have, and we don't really recognize what we already have. And I'm not talking about your stuff or money or whatever. I'm talking about what the Lord has given you, what the Lord has planted in you. Don't let it go to waste. Don't take it for granted, and definitely don't despise it like Esau did. Take the things that he's done in your life in the past, the history that you have with him, and hold it sacred as you move forward in your relationship with him. Don't just rest on the past, but use the past as your launching board to going deeper and further with God. All right, verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head to lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. You think? Continue on. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called the place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Bethel means house of God. So this is an important moment in Jacob's life because it seems like up to now, Jacob has believed the stories from his grandfather Abraham and his father Isaac. He's believed that there's a mantle on him. I mean, enough so that he was willing to steal the birthright, and he was willing to go along with his mother to steal the blessing from his father. So he believes that there's something special going on here, and then he's kind of the guy caught in the middle of it. But it kind of appears like he hasn't actually had an encounter with the Lord for himself. And I believe this is that encounter. And the Lord appeared to all three of these men, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and reiterated this promise to them. And it's not because of how special they were necessarily. I mean, Jacob here, I mean, it seems like Abraham, I mean, he was a man of amazing character in most ways. Isaac appeared to be a man of amazing character as well. Jacob here at least has got some deceit going on. But the thing is, this was not about how awesome Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were. It's about the ordination of the Lord. The Lord chose them. It wasn't up to them in this situation. Now, when you get into the whole Jacob and Esau thing, I mean, the Lord promised that it was going to come to Jacob before they were even born. You know, that's why Rebecca's like, what's going on in my belly with these babies jumping around? But still, Esau made his own choices. So those kinds of things leave your head swimming, and I don't want to get into all of the different drama that comes out of trying to understand, you know, the chicken and the egg on you know, who chose what and when and how. But it will leave your head swimming for a little bit. And you know, Jacob was chosen, but at the same time, he's now receiving this commission and this promise himself. And this is a powerful moment for him. I mean, he encounters God, and he takes it seriously as he can at that time. I mean, he sets up these pile of stones and pours oil on them and understands that there's something going on here. He's going from believing the word that he'd been told to actualizing it within his own spirit, his own mind. You know, he's taking it on for himself now is the way it appears. Verse 20, then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. So here is Jacob, you know, making this promise to God and really kind of shooting low, you know, if you'll give me food and clothes and then bring me back to my father's household, you know, you'll be my God. I mean, immediately after the Lord is saying, listen, I'm going to give you all this land and I'm going to make your descendants, you know, like the sand and the seashore. I mean, you know, he's extending this promise given to Abraham. You know, there's going to be like so many people here, Jacob, you don't even know what's coming. And Jacob's like, well, if you'll just bring me back home and give me clothes and food, I'll be happy. Now I'll give you a tenth of everything. I mean, this is, I think in some ways it seems very small. It almost seems silly when you read it like that. But it's Jacob, like I said, kind of actualizing this within himself. And he's saying, listen, I want to know you for myself now. And there comes a moment in every person's life where, regardless of how they were raised, but especially if they were raised in a Christian home, they were raised being taught about the Lord, there has to come a point where that child decides, I want to know you for myself. I'm no longer content to just believe the stories from Sunday school and from my parents. I want to know you. I want to know you, God. That has to be the cry in all of our hearts. And like I said at the beginning of the podcast, we can read God's word and not know him. We can be taught the Bible and not know him. We can go to church and not know him. It is entirely possible, but we don't want that to happen. Like Jacob here, ask the Lord for your own encounter with God. Now, you don't have to be afraid that it's going to be some kind of freaky, weird thing and the Lord's going to ask you to do something weird or strange. It's going to conform to Scripture. When you meet God, you know you've met him because it sounds like his word that you've been filling your mind and your heart with. When you have an encounter with him, it's going to line up with Scripture. But you have to have an encounter. You have to come face to face with him. You have to know him. It's necessary. We need our hearts and our minds and our lives filled with the Holy Spirit to overflowing. We have to fill our minds and our hearts with God's word, and then we have to have an encounter with him. Now, if you haven't had like this magical encounter, don't worry about that. These encounters can be when you study God's word, it you feel it. It's real to you. It matters to you. It changes you. It affects you. You like it. That's an encounter. That's a valid encounter with God. And the more you have, the more you get to know him, the more you see him. But don't go through life happy with just knowing God's word. Ask for that encounter with him, just like Jacob had here. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the podcast.